I want to talk this morning, third in this series, about our friend Joshua. Get to know him a little bit about his resolve that he had early on as a young man. Joshua had a resolve to be a warrior. Somewhere in his young life, he volunteered and became a soldier. And we get a glimpse in Exodus chapter 17. We get a glimpse of how far he had come when Moses laid the responsibility for the war against the Amalekites to be led by Joshua. The war was led by Joshua. Joshua went into battle and defeated the Amalekites on orders of Moses and established himself as a warrior. He went from being just a leader, he established himself to be a warrior. And I want to draw some obvious lines, maybe not so obvious lines this morning for you and I. Because if you're a Christian this morning, if you have Christ as your Savior, I don't care how old you are, how long you've been a Christian, you are at war. There's not enough talked about the warfare that we're involved with. This easy believism has to stop. It has to stop. Because we're not equipping the saints for the work of ministry. We're just not doing a good job of doing that. We've had a generation of ease. And we keep losing people to the enemy. When are we going to just say, that's enough? We're not going to lose anymore. See, we're being called to active duty. And there is no conscientious objector. You cannot be a conscientious objector and be a Christian. You cannot say, I'm not going to fight. You cannot say, I'm not going to battle. You can, but you're going to become a statistic or a weight. A statistic that loses. I don't want to lose one more person to the enemy, the camp of the enemy. I don't want to pray for any more POWs and KIAs. So I want to call your attention this morning to what your role is as a soldier in God's army. Say, well, I don't want to be a soldier. Tough. You are. See? Doesn't matter what you want to be, you are. So you got a choice. You either give in to and yield to the enemy, which in that column is the L. You lose. There's no middle ground. You're either a winner or you're a loser. How many want to be winners this morning? So we volunteer. I saw every hand go up. So we volunteer for this battle. And this battle, the enemy doesn't take days off. The enemy doesn't give us, well, they've had enough. Let me back off. Give them some rest. The enemy is constantly after the battle. He is going to show up. If you don't, he'll take by forfeit. He takes our health. He takes our sanity. Come on, somebody. He takes our money all because we don't do what the Word of God tells us to do. And that's fight. It's a battle. You say, well, is it always a battle? Yes. Are you being extreme? No. I don't want to lie to you this morning, see? I can't tell you you're going to get to a place where the battle is not going to be. There's always battle. Always you'll battle. And you have the victory. Now, are there times when we just run into the tower of God? We rest in Him? Yes. There are times when, I just told that to somebody the other day, it's a prayer warrior. I said, it's okay to put down your sword and go run. I get that. We need rest and relaxation. But don't take too long with rest and relaxation because the enemy is not going to give you anything. God will protect you, but the enemy is not going to give you anything. You give him an inch, he'll take your life. Come on, somebody. So here we see Joshua. He's considered to be one of the Bible's greatest military leaders for leading 7 years conquest of the promised land. He's held up to us as a model for leadership. But we have to identify the enemy. D-Day in Normandy. Anyone familiar with World War II history knows the horrors of D-Day. There were things called Rupert's or American Oscars. They were decoy paratroopers, dummies about 3 feet tall with parachute attached. And Rupert's were typically made of burlap and filled with straw. Oscar's were inflated rubber. Some refer to them as rubber dummies. Rupert's were dropped from planes during the dark early morning hours of D-Day. Enemy soldiers could not distinguish them from real paratroopers. As a result, they began to fire at them. All the while, the Allied soldiers were advancing in another area. The whole point, they were shooting at the wrong thing. Let me tell you something before we start this morning. You must face your battles and rebuke playgrounds. Sometimes we battle with stuff that is already settled in heaven. Come on, somebody. We battle things. And what we find out is we're fighting the commander-in-chief. He says, if you're a Christian, if you're holy, you won't do these things. And we're fighting. Why can't I do this? I want to be able to do this. It says I can't sleep with somebody before I'm married, but I have needs. It says I got to work for what I got to God for, but I can steal this money. Why can't I have it? Come on, somebody. I'll set nothing evil before my eyes, but I like this TV series. You're fighting in playgrounds. The enemy has drawn you in to lose. You're fighting a losing battle if you're trying to convince yourself that what you're doing is right when you know it's wrong. You're in a playground and not a battlefield. You're playing with your life. And when it's all said and done, you're going to be standing before the King of Kings, the Commander-in-Chief, and he's going to ask you, what did you do? You must face the battles and you must enter the battleground. Now, when you get there, 9 chances out of 10, God is going to fight the battle for you and you're going to win. But that doesn't mean you sit in the cheap seats and cheer God. You got to show up on the battlefield. But all too often, we're fighting the flesh. After all, I'm free. I can get away with this stuff. No, you can't. You're fooling yourself. And then you criticize those that do. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about where you live. The enemy is relentless. But one thing I know about Joshua, let's get to him. Number one, warriors are servants. Joshua was a servant. He learned to battle from what he served. He was with Moses when Moses was on the mountain. He was with Moses when Moses' authority was challenged by those upstarts. Hey, who are you, Moses? Who God can only speak to you? Joshua was there and saw what Moses did. Do you remember what Moses did? Moses fell on the ground and began to intercede for his enemies. Joshua was there. He understood what it meant to be a servant. Warriors, number one, if you're going to be a warrior of God, you've got to learn how to serve. You could tell whether you're becoming a servant by how you act when people treat you like one. One of the secrets of the warrior Joshua is that he could take orders. He did as he was told. Before we go any further this morning, I want to stress the importance of servanthood, serving. It's important that we serve. This is not to exalt one person above another. It's the principle. The minute you look at the person as superior or inferior, you've lost heaven's perspective on the whole subject. It's not about the person. It's about what you're willing to do to serve that person. Come on, somebody. That person may be smarter than you, better looking than you, richer than you, poorer than you. It doesn't matter. We submit to one another as unto the Lord. A warrior is first a servant. Because if you're not willing to lay down your life for your brother, the enemy knows it. And he'll use it against you. Me, me, me. I. We've got to kill the me's and the I's. That's our first warfare, is killing the me's and the I's. Because I want things the way I want them. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17 this morning. It's okay, you can turn there. Exodus 17, 9. It may be up on, I don't know. Exodus 17, 9. Moses said, choose us some men and go fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. Now you'll notice maybe the writer wanted to just get rid of all the other conversation that Joshua had with Moses. Joshua pulls Moses aside and says, wait a minute. You're going to do what? When? You're sending me out to battle and you're going to sit on top of the hill and hold your arms up? Wait a minute. You, the leader, You're the leader and you're going up on a hill and you want to send me to the battlefield. I don't think so, Moses. Let's have a talk. I got an idea. Let's arm wrestle. And if you lose, you go down, I'll stand on the hill. That was in the earlier manuscripts. It was all taken out. Now notice what Moses did. Moses said, you go down on the battlefield tomorrow. I'll go up on the hill and hold my arms up. We'll win against the Amalekites. Come on, somebody. Your role is to be obedient to the Lord. Come on, somebody. One of my closest friends, I don't think I've ever been closer to anybody than Richie Martin. Richie Martin's with Jesus now, I trust. Richie and I went to college together, and one of the most gifted men I ever met. Man, if you gave him a project, he got it done. He was artsy. He put one of the biggest concerts in Dallas, Texas together. Up until that point, he put a concert together. It didn't cost anything. Made all kinds of money doing it. I mean, just a gifted. Wrote a book, Judgment in the Gate. Had all the Christian leaders write a chapter in that book. You can look it up, Judgment in the Gate. You can look it up on the net. Richie Martin. He was saved in Slidell, Louisiana. And drugs and cocaine. Cocaine and alcohol were his drugs of choice. He had like a, at that time, probably today a lot more, at that time about a $700 to $1,000 habit a day. Up his nose. He met Jesus on his bed one night, just about OD'd, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in his room, gave his heart to God, turned around, just went full guns for God, was state representative for Pat Robertson in the state of Texas when Pat ran for president. He was state representative for Pat Buchanan when Pat ran both times in the state of Louisiana. Just a gifted guy. Humble, just but man, he knew God. He could get a hold of God. You pray with Richie and you knew you were in the very presence of God. Man, it was just, it's just wonderful the way he was able to shake the kingdom. 1989, Richie was rubbing shoulders with some pretty important people. Was offered a drink. Started to drink alcohol. Remember talking to him. He said, yeah, I'm drinking a little bit, but it's okay. Nowhere in the Bible. We had a conversation. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, I can't have a drink. 1992, 1993, 1994, started just a little bit. Take the edge off. Started a business. Made $1 million. 2003, died with a burst liver. Alcohol poisoning. Blood came out of every orifice of his body. Wife left him. Kids left him. Broke, found in his brother's apartment in Atlanta, Georgia. The enemy's out to kill. Richie forgot the very first thing about being a Christian is to always be on guard. Take up the whole armor of God. Breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, gospel of peace, shod with the gospel of peace. Sword of the Spirit. We saw the video. Sword of the Spirit. What is that? It's the Word of God. Hide the Word of God in your heart. You've got to hide the Word of God in your heart and never let your guard down for a minute. Turn to Matthew chapter 8 this morning. Matthew 8. Board members, 30 minutes has gone out the window. I don't want to lose one more person to the enemy. Not one more person. I was involved with a ministry in 1994, right in the throes of my conversations once in a while with Richie. And I was very, very, very under the gun. I mean, every week seemed like it was another battle, and I just got weary. I was traveling between where I lived to Albany, New York. I was traveling every Friday, 2 hours up early morning to get to a meeting, and then late afternoon I'd be headed back to Peekskill. I'd had it. We had some falling out. There was some leadership things. There was a bunch of us together, and I was in leadership with a bunch of other pastors, and so I'm driving back, and the thought entered my mind, because we just had a conversation. I'm just being real. Is it okay if I'm real with you this morning? And so, you know, I said, you know, maybe Richie has something like this. Man, I could really use a drink right now. Come on. I'm driving down the Taconic Parkway, and I see a liquor sign just ahead. I know that there's a motel and a bar right there. I knew it because I passed it every Friday. Back, back. So I pulled into the parking lot. Man, the enemy. How many know when the enemy attacks, we're not stabbing the enemy. We're fighting. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers. And he's going to try to fool you. I had it all worked out, man. I had creative lies ready. I was going to call my wife, tell her I had a rental car. I had to rent a car that day. Tell her the rental broke down. I had to stay in a hotel. I was going to get drunk. After all, I deserved it. All this battle, I need a rest. Come on, somebody. Is this where we live? Come on, is that all right? Don't look at me that way. It ends up well. Man, I'm sitting in the car. I had the keys in my hand. I'm opening the door. I'm getting ready to go for the bar. And the Lord caught me. I start to cry out to God, please help me. Lord, I want to get drunk so bad. I remember grabbing the steering wheel, slamming the door, grabbing the steering wheel, and people were coming in the parking lot. And they must have thought I was nuts. Because I'm battling now. And I'm crying. I'm going, God. And then I open the door and I get out. I get out and close the door and lock the door and start headed for the bar. And the Lord would just... And I'd go back and I'd get in the car and I'd start to fight. I was walking around the car, Then by now, I'm soaked with sweat fighting this thing. Got in the car and drove home. But I learned something in that time. That was, this battle's for real. And the enemy didn't hit me with anything mean or cantankerous. He hit me with logic. He hit me with, you deserve this. He hit me with, it's okay. You can get away with this. It's okay. Look at this lie. Your wife will believe you. You've never lied to her before. Go ahead. Come on, somebody. I could have done that. Nobody had known the difference. God would and I would. Bet you're wondering right now, if I'd have failed, would I have still told the story? Matthew chapter 8. Now when Jesus had entered, verse 5, Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out in the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Joshua understood warriors are servants. Now, the end of that story, the other side of that story is when I got home, the first thing I did was sit and talk to my wife and tell her exactly what happened. And I found out she was praying for me. She was interceding for me. I thought I was in the battle alone. But I submitted to her. Before I left Albany, I called her and said, man, I am just under the gun. She understood. And it was because of her. The end of that story is, I thought it was because of me because I was a great warrior. I was submitted to my wife who had the victory. She was the one that was up on the hill with her arms up. Come on, somebody. You must learn first. Watch what he said. He says, I'm not worthy. It's never in us, always in Christ. Famous names are targets for the enemy. Let Jesus be the bullseye, not you. Famous names are fodder for the enemy. You want to become famous? You're on your own. Who do you think you are? I'm Rick Smale. No, we don't stand in our own name. We stand in the name of Jesus. Let any enemy in hell come against Jesus. Jesus won already. And I'm hiding in Him. Glory to God. Yeah. Centurion understood. He said, I'm not worthy. You didn't get to be a centurion easily. In the Roman army, centurions, I mean, you come up through the ranks. So you had to prove yourself. And he says, I'm not worthy. Secondly, he says, only speak a word. When Christ intervenes, when we are led by Christ, victory is guaranteed. You need to put your faith back where it belongs. Don't put your faith in you. Don't put your faith in anything else. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. The centurion knew, not even knowing. He didn't live with Christ. He didn't walk around with Christ. He said, if you say, because he understood the authority of God, he said, say a word and my servant will be healed. Man, we need to put our faith back in God. Come on, somebody. He is the battle winner. And then he says this. He says, I also... Underline also, I also am a man under authority. Understanding the economy of heaven causes us to walk in the victory of heaven. Understanding the economy of heaven gives us the victory of heaven. Before he even starts his servant diatribe, I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to this one, stay, come, and he comes. He says, I also am a servant. Whew. Come on, somebody. You want to... have people do what you want them to do, serve them. Come on, somebody. My wife has got this down to a T. She knows the best way to get to me is serve me. And I know the best way to get to her is serve her. We don't put demands on each other. We serve. And if we'll serve one another in the body of Christ, we'll become 10 foot tall and bold. No enemy in hell can come near, because I'm not going to let them get you. If you don't let them get me, we'll be okay. Not about me. Come on, somebody. Then he makes this statement. He says, Jesus makes this statement. He said, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. Heaven's attention is drawn toward those who walk in humility and faith. When Jesus spoke that, all of heaven paid attention. When you walk in humility and you walk in faith and you walk in the Spirit, all of heaven is drawn towards your need, towards what you need to overcome. And the centurion didn't need anything except his servant healed, and he was healed that very, it says, that same hour. There was that same spirit in this great warrior of God. He understood the cost of leadership was to disappear in servanthood. Joshua was only mentioned a couple times while Moses was alive. He was one of the two that spied out the land, and then he was mentioned in warfare. He was mentioned as being staying in the presence of the Lord. But there wasn't a whole lot said about Joshua, and for 80 years, 40 years, 60 years. You know, we're not talking just 6 months. Hey, you can go to training for 6 months, and then you're going to be the top of the heap. I could do that. Send me for 6 months. How'd you like to be a servant for 60 years? Come on, somebody. And then God says, who shall I pick to take the children of Israel into the promised land? The same spirit that I gave Moses, I'm giving to you, Joshua, because you've proven yourself. Joshua's going, 2.5 million people and you're choosing. You remember all that time you spent in my presence? You remember all that time when you served Moses and followed him? You remember all that time when you shut your big trap? I'm picking you because of that. Come on, somebody. Secondly, warriors are obedient. Not only are they servants, they're obedient. Chuck Swindoll tells this story, talking with General Charles Duke and his experiences walking on the moon with Apollo 16. He says, I ask, once you were there, weren't you free to make your own decisions and carry out some of your own experiments? You know, sort of do as you please. Maybe stay a little longer if you liked. He smiled back and said, sure, if we didn't want to return to Earth. He then described the intricate plan, the exact and precise instructions, the essential discipline, the instant obedience that was needed right down to the split second. By the way, he said they had landed somewhat heavy, in parentheses, when they touched down on the moon. He was referring to their fuel supply. They had plenty left, he said. Guess how much? 1 minute. They landed with 60 seconds of fuel remaining. Talk about being exact. I got the distinct impression that a rebel doesn't fit inside a spacesuit. Whoever represents the United States in the space program must have an unconditional respect for authority. Joshua not only knew that he was supposed to serve, he knew he was supposed to be obedient without question. We have taken much too license with God. We've taken much license with the Lord God, the creator of all. If he says it's wrong, it's wrong. If he says to do it, Do it. Don't question. Don't go. God now lets you. Everybody else has had to learn. Is there a side door somewhere? God, please get back in line and do what I told you to do. Come on, somebody. We've taken great license with this Christianity thing. Say, well, we could get away with it. I'm free, man. I can do what I want. No, you can't. Sometimes I just want to. You can't do that. And it's better that you listen to correction here than there. Ooh, come on, somebody. Because when we stand before Him on that day, no reprieve. Stand before Holy God and He looks you right in the eyeball and goes, you know all this time you got your own way? I'm going to set fire to it. And the Word of God says, everything that's wood, hay, and stubble, precious jewels, fire will be set to it. You'll be saved, but it'll be burned up. And the doors of heaven will just shut right behind your better intentions. Come on, somebody. Joshua understood that it demands complete, total obedience. And that involves trusting God to do what He said He's going to do. It involves trusting God that says, I'll take you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll take you through. You'll be a winner. Cast all your cares on me. It takes doing it. Not just knowing it, but doing it. Bulletproof vests take great faith until you've been shot at. Come on, somebody. Bulletproof vests. Bob Vernon of the L.A. police test vests by shooting mannequins round after round after round in the mannequins. And then they allow the officers to go check the mannequins for penetration. And they do this many times until he finally turns to them and said, so who wants to wear it now instead of the mannequin? We could talk about warfare all day, but if you're not going to be involved in the warfare, you'll never know that God will protect you and save you and heal you and touch you. And if He doesn't, if you happen to lose your life, you got heaven waiting. Come on, somebody. Warriors are obedient. Before Jericho, Joshua consecrated Israel by circumcision. He understood that the shedding of blood is the remission of sin. He understood that he had to go through. I mean, talk about the. Well, I won't go into the talking, you know, 1.5 million men into circumcision all at once. I'll just let that lie there. Come on, somebody. But he understood complete and total obedience. See, we look at Jericho. We say, marching and the thing and the blowing and the deal and the walls come down and Jericho and Joshua and yay, carry him on his shoulder. Obedience started long before the trumpet blasted Jericho. Long before they were walking around shutting their mouths. Long before the trumpet blast. Long before the shout that Israel gave. Moses, or God said to Joshua, consecrate the children of Israel by circumcising all the men. Consecration to God brought concentration on God. Children of Israel were willing to listen because of the shedding of blood. You and I are willing to listen. Someone shed His blood for me. And that was Jesus Christ. He has every right to ask me to circumcise my heart. He has every right to say, die to what you want and do what I want. Secondly, after the defeat at Ai, Joshua renewed the covenant. Joshua chapter 8, verse 30. Let's turn there. Joshua 8, 30. Joshua chapter 8, verse 30. Joshua 8 and verse 30. Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has willed an iron tool. And they offered it it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. Verse 33. Then all Israel with their elders and officers and judges stood on either side of the ark before the priests, the Levites, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord. The stranger, as well as he who was born among them, half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in the front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. Joshua understood how important it was that he be strictly obedient to what the Lord said. If he wasn't, he wouldn't have won at Ai. He wouldn't have won the rest of the cities that he was commanded. So, firstly, he built an altar. We've got to have an altar to God in our lives and in our heart. If you've got an altar in church, good for you. But do you have an altar in your heart? Is there a place you go in God to bow and to worship Him? It's quiet in here. Secondly, he offered burnt offerings. That cost somebody something. You just didn't take a burnt offering of anyone. You took burnt offerings of something that belonged to you. Something that you love. Something that, because serving God is about death. Dying to self. Dying to what you want and grasping what goes. Thirdly, he sacrificed peace offerings. It involves repentance. Repenting. Say, well, I don't need to repent of anything. Oh, yeah? I'll let that ride a little bit. Then he wrote down the law of Moses. Can you imagine how long that took? Come on, somebody. Read Leviticus. Read Deuteronomy. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of laws there. And he took time and wrote down the law. Now he's in the middle of a battle campaign. He's in the middle of taking cities. He's allowing the troops that are going to be against him. He's allowing the cities to muster strength. It must have took hours, maybe days to write the law. No shortcuts in the kingdom. No conscientious objectors and no shortcuts. I've hidden the word of God in my heart that I might not sin against you. Then he made the people stand near the ark. Everyone. Strangers, children, elders, old people, young people, fat people, skinny people. Everybody come and stand near the ark of God. And then after he got done writing and after he done it gives everybody to stand, he read the law in their hearing. You talk about a long service. Man of time. What's this force fast, buddy? What's up, buddy? Everyone, it says, heard the law. Everyone. We do damage to our children when we take young people and we say, it's not for you. You can go over and eat cookies and watch bananas and carrots talk. Man, children will grasp. Come on, somebody. Made everybody hear the law. Kids, old people, the cooks, when the winter time comes in, everybody. He understood the importance. He would have never been a victor had he not been obedient. Never. He would have never done it. He would have lost, all the nation of Israel would have lost if he hadn't been strictly obedient to what God had called him to do. When we are ashamed of the word or intimidated, we've already lost. We've already lost. It's about the word. Mark 8:37, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation. Oh, Jesus, don't call people adulterers. Can you tone it down a little bit? I missed. The missers of him, the Son of Man, also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Man, we need gutsy people to say gutsy things in this hour. Stop it, you're sinning. Stop it, that's a sin. Stop it, I don't care what you say is a sin. God says it's a sin. It's a sin! Don't do it! Get away from it! Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Thirdly, warriors are fearless. Warriors, true warriors are fearless. I don't have anything to fear but God. You can't take anything away from me. I already gave it to God. So if you want it, you're going to have to go through Him. And he is not going to be easy. Stephen Hawking and John Lennox, professor of math at Oxford, were preparing for a debate at Cambridge. If you don't know who Stephen Hawking is, look him up. A reporter from the Times asked Hawking for a comment on religion. And he responded with, religion is a fairy story for people afraid of the dark. Being fair, the reporter turned to Lennox and asked him for a comment on atheism. And his comment was, atheism is a fairy story for people afraid of the light. Come on, somebody. Joshua showed that he did not regard man nor disobey God. Joshua's entire life was defined by his reaction to seeing the promise of God across the Jordan. He was a man that understood what it meant to obey God, but he was fearless at the point when he crossed over the Jordan. He said, I won it in the battle against the Amalekites. I've won before. I'm going to win again. I'm going to take the cities of God. I've met the angel of the Lord. He's told me he's on my side. I'm going to go and I'm going to win. He was fearless in his attack. And he never sent them ahead of him. He went before them. Numbers 14:7, he proved himself even as a young man. Here's what he said. The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Now, we're not fighting flesh and blood, but I can tell you demons are defeated. The youngest Christian in this room, demons tremble when you pray. Come on, somebody. When you pray, demons flee. Their protection has departed from them, verse 9. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Say, well, you don't know what kind of attacks I've been under, Pastor Ray. You don't understand that, man, I'm under all kinds of attacks. So, get over it. Stand against it. Get mad. Get mad at the devil. Say, the devil, you can't take one more thing from me. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to stand against this rebel anymore. I'm victorious. Difference between a fighter and a warrior. A fighter is someone who's engaged in a conflict. Warrior is one who fights in battles and is known for their courage and skills. Anybody can fight, but are you a warrior? Because you will fight. But any battlefield you enter, you're guaranteed victory. How's that? How's that? Come on. I was a fighter. I was 10th grade, I was a sophomore in high school, and the bully, it's a long story, but the resident bully had me cornered in a bathroom. And, you know, back then we had tried, I don't know if they do it anymore, but the crowd got around because there was a fight ensuing. And I was a chicken in the fight. I had hit a lot of people, up till that time, I had hit a lot of people in their fists with my nose. I was a reluctant fighter. This guy's ready to punch me, and he does. Punches me a couple times, and of course, you know, the hoot and holler from Dennis Stubrick and Carl Unger and the rest of the guys. Hit him. And he hit me, and I hit my head against the pipe on the urinal. And I saw red. Man, I got mad. And I went from fighter to warrior. You ain't going to hit me no more. I slammed him. I mean, I was relentless. Sorry to beat. And I became the guy to beat. Come on, somebody. Just for a little while, then I started hitting people in their fists with my knife. But I became the guy because I beat the bully in high school. I beat him up. So there were guys waiting for me everywhere. Hey, you beat Billy. Let's see if you can beat me. Come on. And that's the thing, see. We're reluctant, but when we start to win battles, the enemy is going to attack us even more because he wants to get us off the King of the Hill deal. But if you hold your ground, that thing becomes strong underneath you. He lifted me up out of the miry clay and out of the pit of destruction and set my feet upon a rock, Psalm 40 says, making my footsteps firm. Joshua showed that there was nothing to fear as long as you serve God. As long as you're a servant of God, there's nothing to fear. Joshua chapter 23. Joshua 23:5. I'm trying to hurry. Because there's food waiting. I understand that. Yep, it still works. Joshua 23:5. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Verse 6. Therefore be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. There's that word all again. Lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. And lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you. You shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised you. Now I want you to understand something. God is not into hyperbole. God's not into bragging. If God says, want to put 1,000 to flight, you better take that to the bank. You say, I'm just one little old Christian. You could put 1,000 to flight with your prayers. Come on, somebody. 1,000 to 1, that's not very good odds. Unless you got God on your side. And 2 will put 10,000. So when I'm struggling with something, I'm on my knees. I'm struggling with something. I'm in that parking lot and I'm fighting. I'm hitting the steering wheel, sweat everywhere. God, I want to drink, but I can't. And my wife is at home going, shut the cut up. Now, 1,000 have and the enemy's thrown everything at me, he says, send another 8,000. My wife and I are in agreement. Don't even know we're in agreement. Come on, somebody. That's how effective your prayers are. Watch what Joshua says. He says, expel them and drive them out. Do not hesitate to do warfare against the enemy. You'll win. You're guaranteed victory at the outset of a battle. It's not a question where you're going to lose. Am I going to? Is there a lose column or a win column? There's only one column in Christ, and that's win. Undefeated. Come on, somebody. He said, well, I don't feel very undefeated. That's okay. Get up, brush yourself off, get back in the battle. Secondly, he says, be very courageous. And that's what it takes. It says, God, listen to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear. It doesn't belong in us. It doesn't have anything to do with us. When we start to talk fear, we're doubters, unbelievers. Let not that man think he'll receive anything from God. We should not fear anything but God himself. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power. Before he mentions, even before he mentions love and a sane mind, he mentions power. Woo! He's given me a spirit of power. That means when I say something, it better be done. Devil, when I tell you to leave, I mean it. Because I'm standing in the name of Jesus. No fear of anything, anyone, any diagnosis, any news report. Nothing. I'm not different. You're not going to get me not to sleep soundly. North Korea's got missiles, so come on, somebody. I'll beat the bear and I'll beat the giant. Missile ain't going to hurt me. Drop a missile at my house, I'm going to heaven. Good night. If you are motivated by fear, you will fight from weakness and not from strength, and you'll lose. If you're motivated by fear. Thirdly, do not make mention of the names of their gods. We talk about all the other... We talk about ISIS and Islam and Muslim and Jehovah's Witnesses, and oh, we talk about that too much. Don't even mention their names. Who's Buddha? Who's Muhammad? Who's Allah? I want to talk about God. I want to talk about Jesus Christ. All the rest of them are... The Word talks about that. He says, how dumb can you be? You go, God says this. It's my language, using Rick language. He says, you go out into the woods, take your chainsaw, you cut a tree down. Cut it up into pieces. And part of it you put in a fire, and the other part you whittle, making it in look like a god, and you bow down and worship it. Are you stupid? That's what God says to people. He says, are you dumb? The same wood that you're burning to serve you and you serve food on the fire that the wood makes, you fall down and worship it. It doesn't even deserve a mention. Allah doesn't deserve a mention. ISIS. And one of the things that they were strictly told not to do is to mention the names. He said, don't even mention. You shall not make mention of the name of their gods. Don't even talk about it. You shall hold fast, fourthly, you shall hold fast to the Lord your God. You know, power is given to the enemy because we speak wrong things. We give credit where we ought not to give credit. Hold fast to God. Hold fast means to cling to, take hold of in a gripping manner. Get a hold of him. Don't leave go. Come on, somebody. It's like an old bulldog. A bulldog grabs a hold of you and says, just get a hold of God. Pursuit of God. Submission to him is a resounding defeat of the enemy. This generation must be dominated by fearless warriors. All of this love talk, fleshly love, makes us weak and defeated. Oh, we're just supposed to love everybody. Oh, don't say that. You hurt people's feelings. Oh, I can't say that. Don't say that. Don't get involved in that conversation. We love people. We're Christians. When you become a Christian, you get a voice just like this. We're Christians. Oh, I'm a Christ follower, and I follow God, and that's wrong, and I'm going to say it's wrong till the day I die. You ask me. If you don't want to know, don't ask. You ask me, you're going to get it with both barrels. Don't ask me what's right and what's wrong. Do you really want to know? Do you really want to hang around for the answer? Fifthly, no one has been able to stand against you, he says. Look back over your walk with God. Go ahead, right now, look back over your walk with God. When you were right with God, nothing could defeat you. It's when you got wrong with God that you faced the battles. Come on, somebody. As long as you were in right standing with God, you had that little bounce in your walk. And when you were defeated, you walked around going, Somebody needs to pray for me, man. I'm under battle. Joshua says that. He says, until this day, no one has been able to stand against you. And you can see people going, yeah, you're right. Look back over your walk with God. When you obeyed, you were victorious. There's no defeat to those who have made God their Lord. Convenient Christianity nullifies all battlefields. In immediate forfeit to Satan. Convenient Christianity says, I'm not going to battle today. I'm going to do what I want to do. Convenient Christianity says, I don't need to ask forgiveness. God loves me. He's my buddy. It's okay. Convenient Christianity says, I know that's not allowed by everybody else. Me and God, we got something, man. It's okay. I can do what I want to do. That's convenient Christianity. You already lost the battle. You're in a battlefield, don't even know it. The enemy's plunging the sword of sin into you. You're not even aware. You say, well, you know, now I've been fooled. The angel of light has talked to you and says, you can get away with that. You can't get away with that, my friend. I want to tell you that. In closing to that, I want to tell you, you can't get away with stuff. You may think you're getting away with it. There's a little voice talking right now in your heart saying, man, I get away with it all the time. And I still hear from God. I said, you're being fooled, my friend. You're Richie Martin taking the drink, and he doesn't kill all at once. He doesn't come all at once. He comes little by little and steals your joy, steals your stance, steals your power, until he says, you're mine. You're mine. Where's God now? I've wrapped the chains of sin around you. You're mine. Come on, somebody. You need to get yourself free from that mess. And the only way to do it is cry out to God. One man of you will chase 10,000. There are no amount of demons that can withstand an attack from the child of God. We have been duped into believing a lie instead of what the Word says. One man will chase 1,000 away. Oh God, give us the power and the strength to be able to do this. Joshua understood this. He understood it more than anyone because he'd seen it with his own eyes. There was a point where he made the sun stand still. And then when he was so sure of victory, listen to me. If you don't hear anything else I say, Joshua was just a guy like you and me. Turn to somebody and say, Joshua was just like me. He didn't have any extra arms, no extra legs. He wasn't given the all-seeing eye. He wasn't walking around in a row. He's just a guy. And he was in the battle. And he says, man, the sun's going down. And I'm not going to win this battle with that sun going down. Now, he passes asking permission because he understands his authority. He says, sun, stand still. And the sun stood still. You say, well, God sees you. You're just like Joshua. All you got to do is have the guts to say it out your mouth. I'm not going to let the sun go down today until I've won this victory. If you have to stay up all night on your knees, if you have to walk, pace the floor, win the victory. God's with you. He'll put everything else off. Come on, somebody. Pray with me. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we need militancy in this hour. Lord, we need to be militant believers. Gone are the days of easy believism, God. Forgive us forever languishing in the valley of decision, God. God, we decide today to pull up ourselves, our big boy pants, and fight the battle, God. Fight the battle before us and win victory, God. Victory in our physical life. Victory in our spiritual life. Victory in our finances. Victory in our families. Victory in our marriages. God, today is the day that you have made. And we declare victory in our lives. We declare victory in our lives today. This battlefield has the blood of the enemy on it. Because the blood of Jesus Christ was shed so that we could win these battles. Thank you, Lord, for victory. In Jesus' name.